Music's unstopped. So I'm rushing back to the seat. Won't call no names, but you know who you are. Amen. Can't you laugh in church? It's good to laugh in church. Tomorrow, the meeting will also the meeting for the ministers and the deacons. Also, the associate ministers as well are included in the meeting tomorrow at 6:30. Not 6, but 6:30. And also, you can see there's a change. There is a subtle change to the program. Pastor was supposed to preach this morning, but he wasn't feeling well. But so glad that at First Mount Olive, we know, me and Reverend Jasper know,
amen.
Be ye always ready. Because there's always a ram in the bush. And then that's when you call on God to pull a word from on high.
We've both been there.
And it's so good that Pastor has more confidence that he can turn to either one of us and say, I need you to stand in the gap. And we're always ready to stand in the gap. So Reverend Jasper will be bringing the word this morning. Amen?
Amen.
So do you have joy?
Yeah.
Do you love the Lord?
Yeah.
Do you love the Lord? Do you love? Don't fool me now. Do you love the Lord? Hallelujah. Then you know it's a part of the time of the service where we all can contribute. It's giving time. Amen? So I turn over to the ushers and the deacons at this time.
Good morning, everyone. This is another beautiful day that the Lord has made. Our scripture this morning is coming from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, of out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Are you cheerful this morning?
Amen.
Or you feel blessed this morning?
Amen.
So God has done a lot for us. So the only thing he asks us to do is give a portion back to him. God bless you.
pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. Father, you've just been so good to us, Lord. We just don't know how to share and to share the word, just to say thank you one more time, Lord. Father, you've given us so much, and we're grateful for it. And Father, we come now at this time to return a portion of what you have given to us, Lord. You've said it in your word and your scripture to be giving and to give. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this day. We ask you to bless the gifts that were given this day, Lord. Bless those who desired to give and had it not. Pray for us, Lord. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Give our ushers a hand. At this time, we'll have a song of meditation by our choir, and our meditation will be done by our very own Reverend Nunley.
Bow your heads with me. Eternal and almighty God, it is well with our souls today. For thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, and it is well with our souls. Though trials may come and all sorts of diverse tribulation may come, it is well with our soul. For you are the author and finisher of our faith. You are our God and creator. You are sustainer. You are our healer. You are our protector. You are our mighty forest. You are our high tower. You are our bulwark. You are our God, and you have cast us under the shadows of your wings, and it is well with our soul. Many hearts are burdened today because of loss, but it is well with our soul. Because we know that you would never lay on us anything more than we can bear. So in our time of despair, in our time of need, in our time of want, in our time of pain, oh Lord, minister into our souls even now. Grant us grace for today and hope for tomorrow. Teach us how to walk in your way. Teach us how to fight. And teach us how to pray, oh Lord. Instill in us the fear and the admonition of the Lord, that we might walk in this world humbly before you, oh Lord, bold in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that our lights would so shine that men would see our good works and glorify you, which is in heaven as well. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Your rod and your staff comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemy. And your cups runneth over. It is well with our soul. You've told us, hallelujah, to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but our delight is in the law of the Lord. And we'll meditate upon it day and night. We'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in the season. It is well with our soul. We know that the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. It is well with our soul, because in the day of judgment, the righteous shall stand. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, we are gathered here today for another reason, but to worship you in the spirit of holiness. To worship you in spirit and in truth. But we ask, dear God, to lift our heavy hearts. We ask, dear God, to clear our clouded minds. We ask, dear God, to take those wayward thoughts from us. Oh God, and we ask today that you touch our leader, our pastor, in a mighty and special way. Oh Lord, and most of all, we ask that you would touch hearts and make them repent and cry out, what must I do to receive eternal life? This is the hour that we gather as congregation, aggregation all over this state and all over this country and all over this world to give you the praise, hallelujah, to give you the glory, hallelujah, to give you the honor and to give you the praise. And it is well with our souls. No matter what comes, no matter what the day may bring, though there be clouds out, though there be storms, tempests raging, everything seems to be going topsy-turvy, we know that you are in charge and in control of everything. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, impart unto us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that come from above, that we might walk in this world circumspectly, looking for the return of our Lord and Savior. And whatever we endure, let us endure to the glory and honor of God, as our Lord and Savior has endured the cross, that we might be for surety known in the world and in heaven as the children of the Most High God. Hallelujah, blessed be thy name. And whatsoever we encounter in this world, it is well with my soul. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just say amen again. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to 1 Samuel, our Sunday school lesson this morning, 25th chapter. I got some nice equipment on today. I got a robe that's a mini on the pastor, but a maxi on me. I got new speaker equipment I'm going to get used to. I'm going to walk today because I don't have any paper in front of me, so y'all gonna get to see a new version. I might jump on a pew and run down an aisle. I'm just saying, because I can. Amen. If you have your Bibles, and that's 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter. Again, I'm reading from the King James Version first. And the 23rd verse, a familiar passage for those who were in Sunday school. I'm going to say that several times, and that'll get you to come out to Sunday school. Amen. And when Abigail saw David, 23rd verse, she hasted and lighted off the ass. That's what the Bible said. And fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the word of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Beel, nor Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Baal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of thy Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, seeing that the Lord has withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid has brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that followed my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the transgresses of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battle of the Lord, even evil has not been found in thee all the day. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, our Father, we come to tell you thank you. We thank you for being God and God all by yourself. Lord, we thank you for sitting high and looking low, and we thank you for doing just what you said. Lord, you said you would send forth the word to the earth, would not return unto you void. As you give us your word, Lord, open up our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Lord, I'm just a messenger. I, too, am standing in need of your word. As you give it, hide me so deep within the crevice of your cross, that behind to none of me is seen, but only you, and you get the glory. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Giving unto God the Father, to Jesus' Son, to the Holy Spirit who is present with us, to our pastor, Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, to our only lady, Sister Stinger. I'm going to stand in the gap on his behalf. He's weak and not feeling well, and we just won't be able to serve when we can. Amen. To our assistant pastor, to my fellow sufferers in the gospel, both on the dias and those who are in the congregation, perhaps in the choir, to this beautiful choir and these musicians. Amen. Handling your business. To all the officials here, see you tomorrow night on holiday. Just thought I'd throw that out there. To each of you guys, children, to my lovely wife of 27 years. Amen. And counting. Amen. I ain't going nowhere cheaper to keep her. Plus, I love where I am. I couldn't be a better place, to be honest with you. It's just good to be with you on this morning. This morning's lesson was about stepping in. But I want to take a slightly different path, but a similar path, and talk to you a little bit, I believe, from the subject, I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Or neighbor.
I'll
take the blame. If we look at verse number 24, we find that Abigail is speaking and she's doing something. And verse 24, and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of my mouth. So she's saying, I will take the blame. Now, I don't see, a couple things happen. Can y'all hear me when I walk away? What? Oh, boy. So we find a couple of things have happened here. That there's a story behind getting to this point of taking the blame. I find that in the church, we need to be more like Abigail. We need to be in a position that we are willing and ready and able and excited about the possibility of taking the blame. But truth be told, most of us don't want to take the blame. I don't even want to take the blame for what I do. I'm not about to take the blame for what you do. How you figure you're going to lie and then I'm going to say it's I lied? How you figure you're going to steal something and then I'm going to say it's me? I'm going to be like Shaggy, it wasn't me. I mean, I'm not going to do it. These are my confessions. I'm just saying. We as a church, we find ourselves where even when we are wrong, we won't even say we're wrong. We would rather you figure and find us out, and then we will do deniability, not just plausible deniability. We will deny it at every call. You know what's that 11th commandment they tell me about? Thou shalt not. Y'all know that one? Get caught. As long as you don't see me, as long as you wasn't there, I'm going to sing this song. You don't know? You wasn't there. You don't know when, you don't know where. Y'all know that's gospel? That's the gospel there right there. That's the gospel. We will not accept wrong even when we are wrong. I'll step on your toe. And I won't say, I'm sorry. And when you acknowledge, you confront me with it, I'll say, I didn't do it. Or it was a mistake, even if I intended to do it. In our story, let's see what happens in our story, because this is a very interesting story, because you all know this passage. I want you to go back home and read the 25th chapter of 1 Samuel. We find that David has been camped out in the wilderness, but he had been providing some protection for Nabal, at least his shepherds. And so it was now shearing time. And what happened, Nabal was a rich man. He had more than enough for himself and to go around. He had some 3,000 sheep. And truth be told, at shearing time, he had enough that if you took some off the top, no one would even miss it. Some of us like that. We got so much, we don't even know what to do with it. So anyway, he had enough. And so during shearing time, David did something we termed in the lesson as something very strategic. He approached him while they were shearing and say, sent 10 of his servants to go to Nabal and say, just give us something, we're hungry, give us something, anything you want to give us of your surplus, give us something, we'll be fine. We've been providing protection for you and for your men, and so it seems only right that now that you're getting paid, we should get paid. How many of us like that? You look at somebody and you figure, you know, they owe you. You've been all doing all this work for them. You've been nice enough trying to be their friend when nobody else want to be their friend. You didn't like them anyway. But you've been hanging around them because they got something. Because people, when they got something, you hang around people that got something. You don't hang around people that ain't got nothing. You need to hang around people who can give you something or who can do something for you. Who gonna hang around somebody that can't do nothing for you? Y'all can say amen. Don't be scared. So he does this strategic thing. He notices that he has something, and so he says, I just give us something of what you have. And tell you what, when you go, tell them that David sent you. Now, right there, when you name drop somebody, you would expect some reaction. When you name, I tell people, you know, every time you're mentoring somebody or you're sponsoring somebody, you go see so-and-so and tell them Ricky sent you. Now, my expectation, when you say Ricky sent you, if you have to get to that point, when you say Ricky sent you, they all react. Oh, Ricky sent you? What you want? David kind of expected the same reaction from Nabal, that when they got to the point they said David, that all of a sudden he would be inclined to give them what they requested. Mm-hmm. But Nabal said, who is David? Who is Jesse's son? I mean, can I make it plain? Who does he think he is? Now, what happened when he did not only not give them, but he sent them back with that word, and those servants went back to David, and they rehearsed to David what they had been told. Now, what would you do? See, if it was me, I'd get on the phone and call them, say, this is Ricky. They didn't have phones. So David said, saddle up, let's ride. We're going to go take them all out. That's fine. If you don't give me something to eat, nobody eats. Yes, sir. They're not going to eat by morning. If anybody's alive by morning, that's a problem. I'm going to take them all. Now, maybe it's me, but see, church, David reacted out of arrogance. See, there's a difference in confidence and arrogance. Confidence to be able to get something done. You know you can get something done. Arrogance is, the confidence in self. You're relying. So he didn't. He basically forgot who he was and decided to go out on his own and handle his business, to let Nabal know who he was. You don't know who David is. I will tell you and show you who David is. Some of us just like David. We want to show people who we are. You can't disrespect me and I don't react. But do you realize that oftentimes your reaction is not consistent with who you really are? Amen. Just because you tell somebody or give them a piece of your mind that you can't afford to give away in the first place, that doesn't mean that you're doing yourself any favors. You need to first check yourself before you wreck yourself and see what you're doing. Is it consistent with who you are? You call yourself a child of God, but seemingly your behavior does not line up. I told you that, Tommy, every now and then I hear this radio station. There's a fellow by the name Nephew Tommy. does these phone calls, and he oftentimes calls Christians. And I noticed something about Christians, man, when they get on the phone and you get on, they strike that nerve. They'll tell you, some of them leave with this here. You about to make me go back to where I was. If you got to do that, I'm thinking you never left. And they start acting out. They start cussing on the phone, and then they have to apologize that then you brought the worst out of me. Where did it leave? I need us to understand something. You are who you are, and what you was did not leave. It's still present with you. You got to always suppress it. That's why he said, always, every day, renewing your mind. You're saved, yes, but you got to always be in the Word of God, renewing your mind, putting the right thing in your mind, feeding yourself the right information. Otherwise, you're going to get the incorrect response. So David here, he finds himself getting the wrong response. He's acting out of arrogance. He goes to begin to address the situation. But, well, while that's happening...
Yeah.
Now, phase is scene number two. One of the servants of Nabal rushed back. They couldn't go to Nabal because Nabal was there. And they started to rehearse to the wife.
Yeah.
Abigail, somebody said, where behind every good man, there is a good woman.
Yeah.
Y'all don't know Nabal then because he wasn't a good man.
Yeah.
He was nasty. He was mean. And money made him worse.
Yeah.
You see, some of us think that when we get money, we're going to be different. When we get something, we're going to be different. I'm going to behave. Lord, if you bless me, so I'm going to be different. I'm going to go to church. If you bless me with a car, I'm going to church, Lord. If you get me out of this hospital bed, I'm going to be in the church, Lord. Well, now, hold up. You were not in the church before the hospital bill. You didn't like church when you didn't have money. You think money going to make you like church? You're not going to like church anymore after you have something you did. So if your behavior is not right now, chances are that's not going to change you and make you want to do anything that you're not doing right now.
That's right.
Some of us blame alcohol, not us, I'm just saying people do. They blame alcohol on their behavior because it's an expression. But do you realize it's just an expression of who you are?
Yeah.
It allows you to freely be who you are, and you're just trying to find an excuse so you can blame it on something. Just if you nasty, Nabal was just nasty. He was mean-spirited and nasty. He had acquired an inheritance by his Caleb, and then he had been blessed, and then he had all of this. And the Lord, despite himself, he still continued to bless him. Now, hear me now. Some of us are still being blessed by God.
Amen.
Despite our behavior.
Yeah.
You need to recognize that you are still being blessed by God, regardless of whether you are being obedient to his word or not.
Yeah.
He said, make it the sun to shine on the just as well as... Huh? So that sunshine you're getting is not because you're being good. It's just because God's letting the sun shine. So let's stop feeling like because we're saved, we're better than. Did y'all hear what I said? Some of us think we're better than somebody because I got a nice car, I got a nice house, and I go to church once a month. I go to church every Sunday. I seem to think that I'm better than somebody else because God's blessing me better. You don't measure God's blessing by what he gives to you. God has blessed you enough. Now, whether he blesses you with anything else, he's already done enough. David sends word out and the ball rejects it. And now the servant is now talking to the wife and saying that, look, you got to understand what has happened. Yeah, David sent some servants to us, to the ball, and he was telling them that they need something. And your husband, he got out there and he yelled at them and he went off on them. He went off on them. And then they sent back. I need you to understand. He said you got to do something. But be careful what you do next. You need to understand because, see, right now, because if you don't do something, because your husband, who is, who is stupid, he's foolish, he, because of what he's done, he's called David to get upset, and David is going to come and destroy us. Now, this servant did not know what David had decided because he left the company and went straight to, but I believe God is now in the plan.
Yes, sir.
See, church, sometimes God is in our plan, whether we know it or not. God is working it out on our behalf, whether we know it or not. So the servant rehearses to the wife, and then she decides that she sees the urgency because she knows her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other part. She knew who David was.
Amen. Amen.
So she hurried up, saddled up on her horse, and she decided to ride. And she sent some servants in front of her to go to David. And what happened, God so set it up that they met on the road.
Yeah.
That's how God does. Sometimes things happen to us. You ever been in a situation where God has done something or something has happened? You said, that's strange. How did that happen?
Yeah.
How do we end up in the same place? I don't know if you've been on my street before. I've been down the street. You look and it happened and say, what are the chances?
Yeah.
Must have been luck.
Yeah.
Lady luck on my side.
Yeah.
God has a way of causing the merger to happen at just the right time.
Yeah.
We serve a God that he may not come when you want him. But he's always. So he's traveling on the road. And Abigail, she looks and she sees him. I need you to understand, Abigail is married to a nasty, mean-spirited man. But she married. Somebody say, but she married. Some of y'all say, but I'm married. She married to a mean-spirited man, and so she goes, leaves her husband, gets some stuff without telling her husband to take to another man.
Yeah.
Couples? Don't do that. Don't do that. Not unless God telling you to do it. Don't do that. She goes and she arrives, and here's where the things start to get a little bit odd, is because here we're talking about, I'll take the blame. She finds herself now with David. Now, the first point I want to make is in order to take the blame, you got to want to be helpful. Can I say helpful? Tell your neighbor, say helpful. Help. You got to want to help. Everybody wants to put somebody else on, no, but everybody here needs to be helpful themselves. You got to first yourself want to help. See, because here's the thing with blame. Blame, if you're taking the blame, says you're not guilty.
Yeah.
Says you didn't have anything to do with it, but you're willing to help.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Willing. We need more helpful Christians in the church.
Yeah.
We need folks to stop pointing fingers and saying it's somebody else's responsibility and say, I don't know what I can do, but I'm available. I'm here because I want to help this situation. I told y'all last week we got empty seats in the house. Well, whose fault is that? I don't know, but I'm willing to be helpful. I'm willing to try to do my part. I don't know what I can do, but whatever I can do, the little bit I can do, I'm willing to do that. We need more helpful Christians in the house. So she finds herself now at David in verse number 23. She finds herself now in the front of David. She's on her own horse. She sees him comes. She gets off the horse.
Yeah.
Hits the ground.
Yeah.
Bow down.
Yeah.
At another man's feet.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear what I said? Sheila done bowed down. At another man's feet. I'm just saying. Better not let me know who is. Willing to be helpful, she finds herself in a situation doing whatever's necessary to help the situation. She bows down. She finds herself first. She didn't have to even get involved with this because this really didn't have anything to do with her per se because she didn't cause this problem, but she got involved.
Yes,
I think I said a lot there because I said she didn't cause the problem, but she got involved. You may not have caused it, but can you get involved? God is willing to bless us, but we need to be available and be willing to get involved. Too many of us are sitting back waiting for God to do what he's already given us the capacity to do. Why are you sitting waiting for God to give you water? See how easy that is? I could ask him for it now. I could bow down and start praying for it, but it's right there. You asking God to bless you? You already been blessed. You know what? You know, I got two lovely boys. And I always said I want them to be thankful at the right time. I wasn't so concerned about their gratitude, but because I knew as growing up, sometimes like they should be grateful. I hope they're grateful. I think they're grateful, but I want them to be grateful. What I call at the right time. See, we need to understand what God has already done for us, and we are always asking God for something, and never thanking God for something. If they keep asking me and never stopping telling me thank you, how long do you think that's gonna keep up? How long you think I'm going to keep showering them with their necessaries and then what they want? I say what they want when they're not even thanking me for having what they need.
Yes.
You can't even give God praise for what you have and you're still asking him.
Yes.
Lord, I want. And they're upset. And here's what gets me. It's not that you have it and you that the concern, but then you're upset because you don't have what you want.
Come on, preacher.
I got cold, but I don't have Louis Vuitton. I don't have name brand. I'm living in a house, but my house ain't big as the Jones' house. I saw Michael Jordan's house the other day, and I said, "Ooh, that boy is bad." Yeah, he's selling his $29 million house in Chicago on market, starting, I guess, at $29 million. Did you see it, man? Check the online. It's bad. But ain't like nothing I'm going to have when I get to glory. I don't think I'm going to get it down here. I ain't ruling it out, but I'm just saying I'm not going to put my name in the ad for it. I'm not worried about him, but I'm glad God put a roof over my head. I'm going to be thankful for what I have, and maybe God will bless me with a little more, but I got more than I need. We always comparing ourselves to someone else and not thinking and thanking God for what we have ourselves. Think about it. There's always somebody worse off than you. There's always someone with less. There's always somebody hungry when you're eating. There's always somebody naked when you have clothes on. There's always somebody outside when you're indoors. I don't like the cold. I'm just saying. But there are people outside in the cold right now. And we can't even get comfortable in this place. The church, we were here one day. The heater was working on one side, and the air wasn't working on the other side. The summertime, the air was working on one side and the air wasn't working on one side. And I'm like, ooh wee. And we had some people on one side. You could see the change in attitudes. I'm like, what's it going to be like when you get it's going to be different. I'm saying, make sure you don't go to hell. I'm saying, because it's going to be hot all the time. You're going to have an attitude problem all the time. We need people who are helpful. She wasn't involved in the situation, but she put herself in the conversation. If you're going to take the blame, you've got to be willing to be helpful, number one. Can we do that? Can we do that? Be helpful. Second part is, look at what she does in verse number 24. She begins to throw herself down. She fell at his feet and said, the guilt is mine. I'm reading from the Sunday school lesson because I like the way she set this up. The guilt is mine, O Lord, but please let your servant speak to you directly. Listen to the words of thy servant. She began to speak to David and said, look, don't blame him. Blame me. Second H is humility. You've got to be willing to humble yourself. Fall down at his feet. Stop being who you think you are. Can I do a little Ebonics right now? Be what you is, not what you ain't. Because if you is what you ain't what you is. Be who you are. Stop trying to act like you're more. You know what? Christians get on my nerves. Y'all some of the funniest people in the world. Y'all get so arrogant. Sometimes it just blows my mind how arrogant y'all get. I mean, it really tickles me. Y'all, you know, you get all sedentified. Like you ain't never done, especially those who've been saved for a while. You, we. I was in a meeting the other day with a group of saved folk, and man, I'm like, you know, give them a title. Oh, Lord. Don't give them a title. And the title in the church, and you know what happened? The reason they act up in the church because they ain't running nothing in the house. That's why Paul said, when you look out and choose them, make sure they got this stuff right at the house. Because you get a man that ain't doing nothing at home, he will come and act a nut in the church. That's what happens when I don't have my notes. I get off track. You got to humble yourself. You've got to humble yourself. You got to be willing to throw yourself down. Lord, I know I didn't do it, but in order to change this, I've got to put myself in a situation that makes me uncomfortable. Come on. You can't change somebody when you know everything already. You can't help nor help yourself nor help anybody when you have everything in control yourself already. Come on. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, I don't know it. I can't handle it. I can't control this. Over to you, Lord. Throw yourself down and say, Lord, over to you. Stop giving God instruction on what to do. Amen. Lord, do this, fix that, do this, do it. And you give him that. Do it like this, do it like that, do it. Who do you think you're talking to? Amen. Look, you tried it and you messed it up already. So why you think giving him instruction on how to do it is going to work it out? Because if he did it just the way you said it and you got it, you wouldn't be satisfied anyway. I know this because I've been shopping with some of y'all. And you want stuff and you get stuff and you get stuff and you finally realize, I don't even want this stuff. Gotta have it. Gotta have it now. And then we get it and realize that wasn't quite what I wanted. More importantly, it's not what I needed. Because sometimes our wants don't line up with our needs. You want good smelling air, but you just need air. And you get that good smelling air, and then next thing you got asthma. because there's the wrong stuff in that good smelling air, and that's messing with your system. But God knows you just need air, so he's giving you air, and you're complaining about your air. Just tell him thank you. Humble yourself. So she humbles herself. She put herself in the conversation with this. She throws herself down, and then she begins to have a conversation with David about her husband. Now, if you read this lesson and find out and discover this conversation, let me say, tell you couples again, be careful, ladies, spouses. Can I just call you spouses? This has been men. That means man and woman both. Spouses, be careful what you share outside your household. Now, she done went to David, and look at what she said about him. And she said, look, please, Lord, in verse 25, pay no attention to this worthless man, my husband. Ooh. For he lives up to his name. His name is Nabal. And get this, she said, and stupidity is all that he knows. She talking about her husband. This man, he's worthless, and he's stupid. All he knows is stupid. No, that's somebody that needs to get some off their chest. I mean, she been wanting to say that. That's why she let me just tell you that. Let me talk. Look, I know you got a problem with it. I've been living with him. I had a problem with him too. Look, you just got a problem with it just for a minute. I've been having a problem with it for all my since I got married to him. I didn't like him when I got married, but that money brought me over here, and I'm in there to stay now. So you just been with him one time. I've been dealing with this all my life. Just wanted to put it out there. That's what I'm dealing with. And I understand where you are, but don't credit him. I'll take the blame. See, because what happened was when your men came, I wasn't there. If I had been there, they would have surely gotten what they came for. See, somebody, every church, we need to put ourselves in a situation where we're humble enough to say, look, I know the situation has gone bad, but I'm here now. What do I need to do to change the situation? Sinners cannot get saved by themselves. You didn't get saved just to sit on the pew. See, for those of you who think you got saved and somehow salvation means sit, I got a news flash for you. It doesn't mean sit, at least it means stand. He said, whenever you've done all that you can, he said, stand. So no, it didn't say sit, but it said stand. So you ought to be able to at least stand. She threw herself down humbly before David, began to tell him a situation and have him to understand. I understand where you are, but because I've been on that street and I'm sorry that it happened that way, but what can I do to correct it? What can I do to change it? The last H I wanted to, so she was helpful. She was humble. And the last thing she was hopeful. See, nobody accepts the blame for something unless they hope that their change is going to come. I'm not doing this just because I have nothing to do. I'm throwing myself in this situation because I hope that you would hear what I'm saying and things will be different. See, church, the good news is when you put yourself in that situation, if we allow God to have his way, God is the God of change, but he never changes. Amen. Did y'all hear what I say? Amen. He's the God of change, but he never changes. God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But he is the God of change. He'll change you from who you are to who you need to be. See, somebody, I looked at my hands. Y'all know that. My hands look new. We need to be hopeful that when we go to him, that things will change. We put ourselves on the altar ensuring that, God, something's got to be different today than it was on yesterday. And I will assure you, if you're hopeful, and hope means that hope we're talking about, hope is looking for the things that don't exist today and acting today like they do exist. That's faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is that talking about? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, it is proof right now that the thing that we don't have is going to come to pass. I've never been to heaven, but I'm on the way. I've never seen heaven, but I'm on the way. That's what faith does. It allows me to walk by not what I see, but by faith. If I walk by what I see, it doesn't look too good. But I'm glad what I see by faith is mourning. So I'm hopeful that something is going to change. So she approaches David. I want you to see what happened in the story. When she approached David with hope, and she said, now, wait a minute, my Lord, I need you to understand something. You see, Nabal, what he did, my stupid, worthless husband, he was arrogant in what he did, and he was wrong. But I need you to see something. If you look at the story, you're wrong too. Because you're about as arrogant as he is. Because who goes and kill off a whole family because you didn't give them something? Some of us just like David. We reacting. The punishment doesn't meet the crime. We're doing stuff to folks because we expected them to do for us and they didn't do it. Now we're not talking to them. We're not looking at them straight. Won't sit in the church on the pew next to them. We've just gotten funny about folks because they didn't do what we thought they should do. I thought at least since I did all this here for them, since I prayed for them. I mean, I did go Monday night to Monday night prayer service every month, once a month, and I prayed for them. You would at least think when I asked them for some money, they'd be able to give me some money. And I know they got money because I went during the time when they had the check in their hand. They were on the way to the bank.
That's all right.
And they didn't give it to me, so I ain't got nothing to do with them. We have given control over to people who are not even concerned about us. We are mad at folks and they're on about their business. You're giving away control. You need to get that control back. Let God take care of what you cannot take. We need to hope the change will come by putting ourselves in a situation and say, Lord, I will take the blame. Do you understand who you are as Christians? As Christians, our whole Christianity is based on taking the blame.
Amen.
That's all it is. Jesus died not for his sin. But he died because he was taking the blame. Can I tell the story for a minute? Because see what happened was, let me tell you another story. Because you remember that story of Paul and Onesimus? And how Onesimus had gone and he was hanging out with Paul, but the servant in Philemon, who was a little uptight about it because Onesimus had left and ran away with some stuff that didn't belong to him. Think he had stole some stuff at the house and went and hung out with Paul, and Paul was sending him back to the house. And Paul sent him back with a letter. He said, look, whatever he owes you, he said, charge it to my account. We need to be I'll take the blame time. Just say, whatever, Lord, that they owe you, charge it to my account. I know they've been wrong. I know they've wronged you. But if you would, just put that on my account. I'm willing that our Christianity is based on blame. Yes. We did wrong. Yes. Jesus had nothing to do with our wrong. But yet Jesus stepped in just in time. Yes. I heard a cry made. Said, I need somebody to go down and redeem man. That means I need to go down and pay man's debt because they have paid a debt that they cannot pay. And I need somebody to go down and redeem it. They looked heaven over and down in earth beneath and couldn't find nobody. Somebody said, well, can you send Abraham? Well, Abraham could go, but Abraham lied, you see. Abraham said Sarah was his sister when Sarah was his wife. And if I send Abraham down there, everybody's going to start lying and they're going to think it's all right to lie. And see, people lying right now, they think they're all right lying. But I can't use Abraham and send Abraham down. They said, well, what about David? Now, David's a good one. Why won't we sit David down? David was the apple of God's eye. We can send David down. No. We can't send David because David had a little bit of problem. He was an OG. He was a womanizer. He loved himself some women. If I send David down there, people may not be staying married and they be killing off other folks' husbands just to be, y'all know what I'm talking about. I can't send David down there. Fact is, you look at it right now, you think David already came because folks just can't stay married. I can't send David. Somebody, well, can you send Jeremiah? No, Jeremiah, you know Jeremiah. Can't send Jeremiah. He cried too much. If I send Jeremiah down, everybody be crying and not getting anything done. Somebody said, what about Ezekiel? Can you send Ezekiel down? Ezekiel, well, Ezekiel sounds good, but he saw a wheel in the middle of a wheel. If I send Ezekiel down, nobody really understood Ezekiel. He was kind of strange. If I send Ezekiel down there, people be doing strange stuff and talking about the theology of this and the theology of that. They won't even understand what they're talking about, and people will be confused. I can't use it. Well, who can go? There was a lame lamb there that was slain from the foundation of the earth that came down 30 and two generations. Y'all know this man. This man had came down through the generation. We found him in the Old Testament. We found him in the New Testament. He was present of old when he said, let there be light. I saw him, the word carrying out light. This word was made flesh. came on down to heaven, from heaven down to earth, stayed down here 33 years. He said, I'll take the blame. What you mean you'll take the blame? I'll pay the price for you. What you mean you'll pay the price? I'll go to the cross. I'll die in their stead. I see him on the cross. But just before he went to the cross, I see him in the garden. Said, Father, move this cup from me. Not at my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Lord, I don't want to have to go, but if I got to be humble, if I got to put myself down, I'm hoping that things will change. I'll humble myself, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. I'll go up to the cross. I see him on the cross now, hanging on the cross. I hear him saying a word. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who I am. They don't know who you are. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. I'll take the blame. Went down in the grave. Stayed down there all night Friday, all night Saturday. But I heard him say, Early, 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 early. Sunday morning, stepped up out of the grave. All power in heaven and in earth. This the God I serve. He said, I'll take the blame. Sat down at the right hand of God. Whatever you need, church, wherever you happen to be, whatever your situation, if you go to God in the name of Jesus, he said, I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame. Somebody say, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. I don't know about you, church, but I thank God that he took the blame for me. I couldn't pay my own debt, but I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peace. Y'all know what I'm talking about, but God reached down into a place where only God could reach. Pick me up, turn me around, place my feet on solid ground, because he said, I'll take the blame. Now the story continues, and I'm here today because I'm willing to say, Lord, I'll take the blame. I haven't been all that I should be. I haven't done all I could do. But Lord, I'll take the blame. Because one day I want to hear him say, church, well done. Now, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up a little bit higher and take your rest. If you're here today, church, if you don't know him in the pardon of your sin, I'm begging you right now. I'm begging you. You don't have to bear this burden by yourself. We're here. We're standing with you, and we'll take the blame. I hear him say, angels in heaven rejoice over one soul. If you're here and you don't know him, I invite you to get to know him for yourself. Be your own personal savior. Don't worry about yesterday. Just look to tomorrow. If you're here, if you're here, if you're here, I beg you to come right now. There's time and there's room. There's time and there's room. And there's nobody here who can say they're good enough or better than you are. Because God did the same for them that he'll do for you. If you're here today, as the choir sings, don't let it be said too late. Don't let it be said too late. If you're here, this is your time. Hallelujah. Are we all saved? Everybody saved? Everybody's praying then? Hallelujah. Let's sing with the choir then. All right? If you're here, it's still time for you. Yeah. My Lord. Let all the earth rejoice. Wrapped himself in life. How great is our God, church?
How great is our God? How great
His hands. Beginning and the end. Yes. God has made. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The light. How great is our God?
Say with me, how great is our God? Oh, sing, how great is our God?
How great is our God?
How great is our God?
Sing with me, how great is our God? How great is our God?
Name above
all names.
Worthy of
our praise. How great is our God? Hallelujah. God is our God. How great is our God? 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 Sing with me, how great is our God? How great is our God? Our God, she with me, how great is our God? How great is our God? Is our God, she with me, how great? How great? How great
is our God?
Yeah, yeah. Is our God? She with me? How great? How great? How great is our God? Is our God? She with me? How great is our God? How great is our God? Is our God? She with me? How great is our God? How great? How great, how great, how great
is our God.
Amen. How great is our God. And the conclusion of the story, David recognized who he was because Abigail took the blame. She stepped in. Nabal, her husband, when he got word of what she had done, couldn't take it, had a heart attack, 10 days later, he died. You never know what God has in store and what your role is when you step up and take the blame for somebody else. She stepped in, and David didn't lose his way. He maintained his course and became the king. But that surly, nasty old man, God had a plan for him as well. Church, be willing to take the blame. Be willing to take the blame. Be helpful. Be humble. Be hopeful. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we thank you for just being God and God all by yourself. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for him taking the blame on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor, and we pray a special blessing on him. Strengthen him where he's weak. Build him up where he's torn down. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for him and for the wisdom and for the vision for the church. Bless this, your congregation, each of us individually and collectively. Let us go out and tell a dying world that because you live, they can live also. Let us be willing, Lord, to take the blame, to step in on someone else's behalf, even though we have nothing to do with it, because it's the right thing to do. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And the church saying,
let the church say amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.